Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Iris Bat Bernice, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Haramir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects that we want to discuss on this week's program. One is how the Trump administration and Donald Trump and Jared Kushner are covering up for Saudi Arabia for terrorist, Muslim, America-hating, Israel-hating, Jew-hating, Christian-hating Saudi Arabia. They're covering up for the Saudis just like they cover up for Russia. And we're going to be discussing as well the danger that would exist if the Democrats take over the U.S. Senate in the elections that are going to be held in several weeks. In several weeks, on November 6th, there are going to be elections, and there are about one-third of the U.S. Senate is up for re-election. If the Democrats take over control of the U.S. Senate, then Schmuck Schumer will become the Senate Majority Leader, and we're going to explain why that would be very bad for America, for the world, and especially for the Jews. But let's start off with the Trump-Kushner-Saudi cover-up. First of all, let's understand who we are speaking about when we speak about Saudi Arabia. It is a country that in its official constitution recognizes Islam as the sole religion, the sole legitimate religion, and you cannot be a citizen of Saudi Arabia. And you're not allowed to really be an official resident of Saudi Arabia unless you're a Muslim. Non-Muslims are not tolerated in Saudi Arabia. Now, they bring in non-Muslims to build up their country and to build up their infrastructure and do their technical stuff. They bring them in under exceptions to their law. But you cannot become a citizen of Saudi Arabia, and you can't have residency rights, and you can't have any other rights in Saudi Arabia if you're not a Muslim. Saudi Arabia is a vicious, hateful Islamic terrorist dictatorship. A vicious, hateful dictatorship that takes women, for instance, who've been raped. And if a woman is raped, the rapist is not punished. The woman who was raped is punished. And this is true, by the way, not only in Saudi Arabia. This is true throughout the Muslim world. The Israelis have encountered this with the Arab Muslims living in Israel, and the Israeli police have tried to prevent it. But Arab families murder women who have been raped. Muslim women who have been raped are murdered by their families because they dishonored their family when they were raped. The rape victim is guilty, not the rapist. The rape victim is guilty, and the rape victim has to be murdered. This is called Islamic family honor. And the Saudis have done this over and over again. The Saudis, the Pakistanis, and all these other Muslim countries, Egypt, this happens very frequently. And this is just an example of what you're dealing with when you deal with Saudi Arabia. Just to show you how viciously anti-American Saudi Arabia is. Without the United States, Saudi Arabia could not last 5 minutes because of the oil sales, because Americans take care of and run all their technology. They don't know how to drill a single oil well. They've been trillionaires. I mean, the country is a nation of trillionaires for decades now, and they can't even drill a single oil well by themselves. And so they need the Americans and the Europeans and the other infidels to take care of their technology and their oil business and their infrastructure. But they despise and envy all non-Muslim infidels. And just to show you how much they hate the non-Muslims, when 9/11 took place, 15 out of the 19 hijackers, 15 out of the 19 Muslim terrorists who hijacked the planes in order to murder thousands of Americans, in order to murder 3,000 innocent Americans, and their goal was to murder hundreds of thousands. They thought the collapse of the Twin Towers would lead to the murder of hundreds of thousands of Americans. They thought they were going to perpetrate a Holocaust in Lower Manhattan. But 15 out of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, were citizens of Saudi Arabia. And they weren't just ordinary Saudi workers or ordinary Saudi peasants. These were Saudis who came from billionaire families. just like Osama bin Laden was a Saudi who came from a billionaire family. And his family, by the way, Osama bin Laden's family, are still billionaires living in Saudi Arabia. These were the elite. They were members of the Saudi elite, and they had decided to give their lives to murder as many American infidels as they possibly can. 15 out of the 19 were Saudis. Not just that, the Saudi media applauded them, called them the Magnificent 15. This is what official Saudi television, that is financed by American dollars, referred to the 15 Saudi hijackers that murdered thousands of Americans on 9/11. They called them the Magnificent 15. They have fundraisers and telethons on official Saudi television for Islamic terrorists. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars every year financing Islamic terrorism all over the world, including Hamas and Fatah and terrorists that have murdered thousands of Jews. This is a nation that spends millions of dollars every year reproducing Adolf Hitler's book Mein Kampf in Arabic. Mein Kampf is the second most popular book in the Arab world and in the Muslim world after the Quran, after the Islamic Bible of theirs, the Quran. Quran is number one. Number two is Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. And by the way, as far as the Quran is concerned, the Quran itself preaches anti-Semitism and hatred toward non-Muslims so severe that Winston Churchill called the Quran the Mein Kampf of war. Winston Churchill compared the Quran to Hitler's notorious book Mein Kampf. The Saudis are the ones who build the madrasas, the Islamic terrorist schools where they teach kids to be shahadim. Shahadim are Muslim terrorist suicide bombers who give their lives in order to murder as many non-Muslim infidels as possible. And of course, the Saudis teach taqiyya. What is taqiyya? Taqiyya is what Muhammad, the prophet in the Quran, Muhammad, the prophet of Islam in the Quran, told the Muslims, you have to use taqiyya against the non-Muslim infidels. Taqiyya means deception and lies in Arabic. You have to lie to the non-Muslim infidels. You have to deceive them, like Muhammad himself did. Muhammad claimed to have peace with the tribe Quraysh. He signed the peace treaty. And then 2 years later, in a surprise attack, he massacred all of them. When he was strong enough, he launched a surprise attack and exterminated all of them. Cut the heads off of little boys, of all the males, raped all the women. That's called taqiyya. And that's in the Quran. That's what Muhammad teaches the Muslims to do in the Quran, to wage jihad, to wage holy war against the non-Muslim infidels. The Saudi regime spends billions and billions of dollars that come from you, from American consumers and American taxpayers. Billions and billions of dollars to promote jihad, to promote Islamic terrorism all over the world. To this day, the Saudis are the second biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world. The biggest sponsor of international terrorism is Iran, another Islamic country. The second biggest is Saudi Arabia. For many years, by the way, Saudi Arabia was number one. So this is Saudi Arabia. And one of the things they do is they buy off American politicians. They and the other Persian Gulf countries, United Arab Emirates, there are other Persian Gulf countries, they're Kuwait, they buy off American politicians, literally buy them off. What they did is they made deals with Donald Trump and his family. And, for instance, Trump's hotel, his ridiculous hotel in Washington, would have gone bankrupt a long time ago if not for the foreign guests and the foreign visitors from Saudi Arabia and Arab countries and Muslim countries who are constantly booking very expensive rooms there. And they do it. They don't even stay there. They just book the rooms to give money to the hotel as a payoff to the Trump family. And Jared Kushner, whose family was in a lot of trouble because they bought some real lemons, what we call lemons in the real estate business. When I say we, I'm not in the real estate business, but it's just an expression. I wish I was. But Jared Kushner bought some real lemons in the real estate business. He bought buildings that are going bankrupt, that are virtually bankrupt. And so he was billions of dollars in debt, just like Trump was billions of dollars in debt. And so they got the Trump, of course, got the Russians and the Saudis to bail him out. That's why he's slavishly loyal to Soviet dictator Vladimir Putin and the anti-American KGB that runs the Kremlin, that runs Russia. And the same thing in Saudi Arabia. The Saudis also have been involved with the Trump family and especially with Jared Kushner and the corrupt, evil Kushner family, those self-hating Jews. Jared Kushner, by the way, is Trump's son-in-law, if you don't know. And the Trump family is involved up to their neck with Saudi money and Persian Gulf money. They've been bought off completely. And so Jared Kushner is the one that arranged a record-breaking $110 billion arms sale, selling the most sophisticated, dangerous American weaponry to this terrorist nation, Saudi Arabia, who is also one of the worst enemies of Israel. Tremendous danger to Israel as well. Danger to America, danger to Israel, danger to the whole Western world. And they want to sell $110 billion with the most sophisticated weaponry, the most sophisticated and destructive technology from the United States to Saudi Arabia. $110 billion sale. By the way, when Barack Hussein Obama wanted to sell $2.3 billion to Saudi Arabia, all the Jewish organizations and the Jewish right-wingers, and they all screamed and yelled, what are you, $2.3 billion Saudi Arabia? That's dangerous. You shouldn't. Trump and Kushner are proposing selling $110 billion. Okay? 50 times as much as Obama. 50 times as much as Obama was going to sell the Saudis. It is the largest arms sale in world history from one country to another. Never in world history has there been a single arms sale so huge as the proposed U.S. arms sale to Saudi Arabia. No president before, and all the other presidents were also slavish toward the Saudis because of their oil money, because of their petrodollars, and ignored their terrorism, and ignored their mass murder, and ignored all the horrible things they do. But Trump is proposing arms sales that are greater than all the other presidents before combined. The biggest arms sale in world history to the Saudis. If you give money to the Trump family and you do business with Trump, with Trump's real estate holdings and help bail Trump's failed businesses out, and if you give money to Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law and his daughter, which the Saudis have done very generously, if you do that, you are guaranteed that you get a blank check from the administration. They will subvert America. Trump, the traitor, will subvert American foreign policy. Will change American foreign policy against American interests and endanger the national security of the United States as long as what you're doing is good for his business dealings. And by the way, you Trumpsters out there, you know what I'm saying is true. You know that Trump only cares about Trump. You know damn well this is true. You know that this egomaniac, this orange orangutan egomaniac only cares about himself. And so now we have a situation where there's a scandal involving Saudi Arabia. Jamal Khashoggi, who was a Saudi journalist, he was actually very involved with the Saudi royal family. He was another one of the Saudi elite. He was way up there with the billionaires in Saudi Arabia, the billionaires, multi-trillion dollar economy that they have because of traitors like Donald Trump's former Secretary of State, who and ExxonMobil and all of these other oil companies, they made sure that the Saudis would get trillions of dollars in oil from American consumers out of your pockets. Money that should have been spent in the United States. United States could have been oil independent years ago and could have created a situation where the Saudis would get nothing. But no, corporate America, the Wall Street titans, they want to enrich Saudi Arabia, and they prefer to do deals with Saudi Arabia, because at Saudi Arabia you just bribe somebody and you don't have to go through all the process of obeying the law. There's no law. You just bribe the Saudi officials. And then the Saudi officials bribe American politicians, and that's how it works. Anyway, Jamal Khashoggi became a critic of the Saudi government. For whatever reasons, he became a critic of the Saudi government. He himself was a big Saudi elitist and part of this elite families, because only a few, basically a few families run the whole country and have all the money there. And are robbing the whole world. You know, the thieves of the desert have become the bloodsuckers of the world. And he was part of that. And then he became a critic. For some reason, he had a falling out. He was unhappy about something, so he became a critic. And he started writing a column in the Washington Post. And he was criticizing their policies. And so he decided to go to the Saudi embassy for some reason, because he is a Saudi citizen. He was living in Washington, but he decided to go to the Saudi embassy because he's a Saudi citizen. And they grabbed him, pulled him into the embassy, and chopped him up into little pieces. Literally chopped him up into little pieces. I mean, these are barbarians. With all their trillions of dollars, they're barbarians. Don't forget, these are the people whose religion teaches them that they have to chop off the clitorises of six-year-old girls. Six-year-old girls in the Muslim world, hundreds of millions of six-year-old girls in the Muslim world, are held down by their mother while their father chops off their clitoris when they're 6 years old. Because the girl is not supposed to enjoy it. The clitoris has to go. The girl is not allowed to enjoy it. The girl has to be a slave to the and obedient to the man. Muhammad said that the women are all going to hell. The women are going to go to hell because they talk too much. They're too talkative, so they're going to go to hell. Most women, you know, the vast majority of women, have to go to hell because they're too talkative. Anyway, this Khashoggi, for whatever reason, he was still a Muslim, but he was a critic of the Saudi government. So this is how they, you know, this is what they do to anybody who in any way criticizes their regime, anything critical of their regime. They chop them up into little pieces. So there's outrage, and the media is outraged, and because he was a journalist, and he became a journalist, let's put it that way. And even Democrat and Republican members of Congress are demanding sanctions against Saudi Arabia and are demanding an end to the arms sales. They're saying we're going to sell them the biggest arms sale in world history, $110 billion, the most sophisticated American weapons to a regime that's so barbaric, that's so crazy. I mean, this is very dangerous. This is insane. And happens to be an anti-American and anti-Christian, anti-Semitic regime. And so there's tremendous sentiment in the Congress from Democrats and Republicans to stop the Saudi arms sale. Trump doesn't like that idea. He says, nope, it has nothing to do with the Saudi arms sale. We still have to go forward with the arms sale, even though he says, we'll see to it that the people who chopped up this guy are severely punished. They're severely punished. Meanwhile, this was ordered, there's no question, was ordered by the prince, Saudi Prince Mohammed, by the way. He's the one running the country. Prince Mohammed, that's his name. And of course, nothing will happen to him, even though he's the one who gave the orders to chop this guy up. Nothing's going to happen to him. And what you're going to have is they're going to get the most sophisticated, by the largest quantity and quality, of the best weapons in the world are going to be handed over to them. Trump and Kushner are corrupt traitors. They don't give a damn about the United States or about anything else except themselves, unless it affects them. The only thing they care about when it comes to America is how it affects their businesses and how it affects them and their ego and their little world view. That's the only thing they've ever cared about. That's the only thing Trump has ever cared about. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. And what an example of why I don't care how unpopular it is. I don't care what happened to our American movement as a result of this. Trump is a disaster. A disaster and a traitor and the lowest, most immoral piece of filth on the face of the earth. And everything that Bill Clinton did and everything that Obama did, all the immoral, evil things that Clinton did with women, for instance, Trump has done the same thing squared. And the same people who complained about Clinton when he did it are silent. The same evangelicals and conservative Republicans who were screaming and yelling when Clinton did it, when Trump does it, it's okay. What a farce. What a farce. We're real conservatives on this program. We don't close our eyes and blind ourselves if a Republican president happens to do something as bad as a Democrat president. We don't do that, okay? And by the way, I want to mention just one thing, which we'll probably be speaking about more often, God willing, in future programs. The debt that this country is taking on under Trump is unbelievable. The budget deficit, the official budget deficit is over $900 billion. It went down to about $300 billion, and Trump has now more than tripled it, and it's gone to over $900 billion. And he's only been in office 2 years. That's the official budget deficit, but that is not the real budget deficit because, as Trump himself used to say when he was campaigning, they've taken Social Security and they've taken pensions and all these other liabilities that the federal government has. They just decided they're not counting it toward the deficit. They're not going to count it as part of the budget. But these are loans that the federal government has taken out, so this is debt in every respect. This is debt. So it should be counted as part of the budget. The real budget deficit every year is about $3 trillion a year. Do you have any idea what that is? $3 trillion a year? I mean, this is debt on a proportion similar to what Greece was experiencing before Greece's economy collapsed. This is what Donald Trump is doing. And by the way, it has gone up drastically under the Trump administration. He used to complain, justifiably he complained, about Obama increasing the debt. Obama was increasing the debt, and it was terrible what Obama did. He was spending money in a very irresponsibly. But Trump is doing it far worse. It's far worse under Trump. Far more spending under Trump than there was under Obama. And nobody says a thing. The Tea Party was supposed to be formed to fight budget deficits and big spending. Trump is outspending Obama, and the Tea Party supports Trump. Why? Because they want a wall on the southern border, a wall which is not, which we also want. We want a wall also, but the wall is not being built. There is no wall. Nothing's being built. Nothing. All a lie, all a bluff. The only thing you're getting is trillions and trillions of dollars in new debt. And hundreds of billions of dollars in arms sales to Saudi Arabia and Muslim terrorist countries. Wonderful. Oh, how insane this world has become. Oh, what fools people are. Oh, what fools people are. And we may be forced to support Trump for re-election if his opponent is a self-hating Jew. God forbid, if the Democrats nominate some self-hating Jew, then you know I'm going to, even though I hate Donald Trump, I would still support him over the self-hating Jew. What a mess. What an incredible mess. You could have had Ted Cruz. You could have had Ted Cruz who says what he means and means what he says. He would have been a great president. What a shame. The second subject we want to discuss on this week's program is Chuck Schumer. You know, the Democrats are going to try to take over the Senate in the elections that will be held early next month on November 6th, and that would be a disaster. And one of the reasons is because the Senate Minority Leader, the head of the Democrats in the Senate, is Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, the self-hating Judenrat Kapo senator from New York. Anti-Israel, self-hating, the lowest, a Jewish anti-Semite in every respect. Just a miserable, vicious piece of garbage. Opportunist, a whore who once knocked a lady down running toward the TV camera. I mean, this is a guy, if you get between him and a TV camera, there's a danger of a murder taking place. I mean, this guy he was always such a whoring, evil, opportunistic, publicity-hungry, egomaniacal piece of garbage, piece of subhuman garbage. And those are his good qualities. Now, Chuck Schumer, he's the Senate Minority Leader. He's the head of the Democrats in the Senate. If the Democrats, God forbid, take over the Senate, become the majority, he'll become Senate Majority Leader. That would be very bad for Israel, for the Jewish people, for America. It would be very, very bad to have this self-hating Judenrat Kapo, whose daughter, by the way, is a lesbian. His daughter's a lesbian who just married another woman, married, quote-unquote, another woman, and he was dancing and celebrating that his daughter's marrying another woman. He danced in the gay parade. Because his daughter is marrying another woman, he was dancing and celebrating in the gay parade. Anyway, if we have this disgusting, evil piece of trash, piece of subhuman trash, as Senate Majority Leader, it will really be a terrible tragedy. A real Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem means desecration of God's name. Because the Jews are the representatives of God in this world. And when they do evil, as most of the big powerful ones are doing in this generation, when they do evil, it is a terrible desecration of God's name. And it's our job to fight against that. So this is why we in the vast majority of cases, almost all cases, people should vote Republican for the U.S. Senate. Certainly, we have races like in Texas where the great Ted Cruz is running for re-election against Beto O'Rourke, a communist who used to wear a dress, who says that we should eliminate all border controls on the border, have completely open borders, and who is an open socialist and campaigns with Bernie Sanders and is so anti-Israel and so anti-Semitic. I mean, just the lowest of the low. He is actually to the left of Nancy Pelosi and Schmuck Schumer, Beto O'Rourke. So, of course, we have to support Ted Cruz in Texas, and we have to support Senator Dean Heller, as we spoke about on last week's program, or 2 weeks ago, against the self-hating Jew, Jackie Rosen, who's running in Nevada. Very important. In almost all cases, the Republican is preferable to the Democrat in the Senate races. In Florida, Governor Rick Scott, even though I don't like he spent the big spending Republican in Florida, but he's better than the Democrat alternative, Bill Nelson in Florida, because we don't want the Democrats to get the majority in the Senate. It would be very, very bad. Then you have Schmuck Schumer, becomes like a huge leader, a huge powerful leader in America. It would be very, very bad. An exception, as we mentioned, is just in New Jersey. Those of you who live in New Jersey, the exception is Bob Menendez. We do, even though Bob Menendez is a Democrat, he's probably the only exception I could think of where he is preferable to his Republican opponent, Bob Huggin. Bob Huggin is an extreme left-wing Republican. He's a Republican, but he's extreme left-wing. He says, I'm a different type of Republican. He's a Republican who's pro-abortion, pro-partial birth abortion, pro-open borders. He's pro-transgender and pro-gay marriage. I mean, on every issue, he's as far left as the most far left Democrat. And his argument, and it's the argument of supporters, is, well, in New Jersey, which is a liberal state, you got to run that way to win. It'd be a disaster if he gets elected. And Menendez is actually, on some issues like Iran and Saudi Arabia, Menendez is actually pretty tough on Iran and Saudi Arabia. He's done some good things in those areas going against them. So in New Jersey, that's an exception. That's the one place where we would urge you to vote for the Democrat over the Republican in New Jersey. But on almost every other case, we should generally be supporting the Republican for the U.S. Senate. In California, we mentioned there are two Democrats running against each other because of their crazy election system. No Republican is running in November. The two Democrats made their runoff. They have a runoff between the two top vote getters in November, and both of them are Democrats. And so we urge you in that case to vote for Kevin DeLeon. Kevin DeLeon is a Hispanic Democrat who's running against the horrific Dianne Feinstein, who is the worst, very anti-Israel, very anti-Semitic, the lowest, always condemning everything Israel does, even though Israel's caving in on everything. It's never good enough for this beast. Just the lowest. I mean, she is pure vermin. She's the one who leaked to the media the name of Dr. Ford in the Kavanaugh hearing. She leaked it to the media, even though Dr. Ford didn't want her name leaked to the Washington Post, but Dianne Feinstein and her staff leaked it. They're the only ones who had the information. There's no question they leaked it. The Washington Post has said Dr. Ford and Dianne Feinstein and her staff were the only ones who had it, and Dr. Ford did not leak it. The Washington Post said that Dr. Ford did not leak it, so it's obvious who did. Just the lowest of the low, just a beast. And so people in California should vote for Kevin DeLeon in California against the evil Dianne Feinstein. We're going to have an election soon, and important decisions are going to be made in this upcoming election. In the meantime, the one bright spot we have in Israel is our videos. Remember last week we told you over 97,000 views from our advertising campaign, just from the advertising campaign. Well, Baruch Hashem, it's now over 112,000 views. Yes, 15,000 more views this week. Over 112,000 views. So we're getting about 15,000 views a week, Baruch Hashem. Thank God. in a country the size of Israel, which is 6 million Jews, we're reaching people. I don't know how much, it's because it comes in the form of like a 60-second commercial. It's like we're running commercials. So how much does a 60-second spot that people see once influence them to change all their views? I don't know. I know people who responded to the, most of the people say they agree with our message on these commercials. So, but I don't know how much it really permanently influences them. And of course, in the commercial, we mentioned that we support Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party in the Knesset elections. I don't know how much it's going to have an impact, how much it's going to influence, but I know we're reaching a pretty sizable group of people now. That's over 60,000. Over 60,000 Israeli Jews are being reached every month now. Okay, there's 6 million Jews, over 60,000 Israeli Jews being reached by our commercials. That means we're reaching about 1% of Israel's entire Jewish population every month with our commercials. About 1% of Israeli Jews are being reached by our commercials every month. So let's hope it does have an impact, and we have to do our best. We have to try, and this is our best way to reach them. It's our best way to at least get across to them something. And let's hope that it does have an impact, that it in some way influences their thinking. The more you support us, the more we can do. And again, if we get Moshe Feiglin in the Knesset, and if we can reach huge numbers of Israeli Jews, even bigger numbers, we're hoping to eventually reach much bigger numbers. And if we can do this on a widespread scale, I think it can start to change the direction of things in Israel in a meaningful way. At least that's what we're going to strive for. That's what we're going to hope for. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. If you want to be a part of that, if you want the truth to reach the Jews of Israel, and if you want an organization that speaks the truth, even when it's unpopular, then you're in the right place. And by the way, our message in Israel isn't even unpopular. In Israel, it's not unpopular. The positions we happen to take on issues like encouraging the Arabs to leave Israel and the other positions we're taking are actually popular in Israel. A lot of Israeli Jews like that message. In America, though, our campaign against Trump and our exposing of what Trump is the bad things that Trump is doing, that has not been popular, and that really hurt us here in our American movement. But again, you need someone who is going to tell the truth even when it's unpopular. And that's really what JTF is all about. If you agree, and if you want the Jews of Israel to get this essential message, essential for Jewish survival, then support us. Support us financially. Support us by spreading the word about JTF. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history and make this a better world, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.